Bienvenidos. That's California for welcome to the September 14th edition of National Review's Radio Free California podcast. I'm Will Swain, president of the California Policy Center, and I'm laughing because I just love the way, Brian, you signal us to start, which looks like a guy lassoing a cow. Or a bull. I guess you lasso bulls. I don't know. You can find my colleagues and me at californiapolicycenter.org, and you can find my friend and co-host David Bonson right here. He's an author, an economist, the host of the Capital Record podcast, and the founder of the eponymous investment firm, The Bonson Group. Hello, David.
Hello, Will. How are you, sir?
I am good. I am engaged in international travel, so our next episode will be delayed a bit. I apologize for that. We'll be putting that one out on Friday the 23rd, so sorry about that. I know that I'm a podcast listener, and I love predictability in my podcasts, but it's the best we can do.
You know what's a pretty predictable podcast is Capital Record.
That is invariable, isn't it?
The fact of the matter is that Capital Record does come out every single Thursday because we choose for it to come out Thursday, and I generally stay ahead of the scheduling, which it's a guest-featured and guest-centered podcast. But people should know, the reason Radio Free sometimes can be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in this case, Friday, it's almost always because of me, not because of you.
Well, this time it's definitely me.
This time it's you. You got some things going on, but my point is that you are very reliable, committed to this podcast. For me, it's a complete afterthought.
Oh, that is mean.
Yeah, it's true. It is mean.
But it's true.
It's mean. No, it isn't true. I love doing this podcast. I prioritize it. Sometimes I even block aside 2 hours for it.
I love it when you do. All right. Well, this is a special episode because all we're going to talk about here is ballot measures that will appear in November for the November ballot. That's November 8th, 2022. And there are only seven ballot measures. That makes this a wonderfully light kind of ballot. But I think we could probably cut to the chase. And if you don't want to listen anymore to the podcast, here's your hot tip. And you and I have said this before, David. Just vote no. Vote a lot of no.
There is always that. But then I would say to out-of-state people that are not in California, they're not going to vote. And they're like, why do I care about California propositions? I'm telling you, you do. Because oftentimes, California propositions are foreshadowing to things people intend to do in other states.
100%. We talked just last week about AB5 and how that's going nationally. That's the gig economy labor initiative that the Biden administration has expressed interest in copying, even though it has been a complete catastrophe and failure out here to do what it says it would do. They're looking at AB257. That's the fast food organizing. David, you and I don't talk enough about AB257. And though it's not on the ballot, I just want to say this is an example of where unions have utterly failed to organize people, fast food workers. They have been trying to organize since the dawn of mankind. That opening scene in 2001 where the ape grabs a jawbone of an ass and beats to death his enemy and then flings it up in the sky, it could be replaced by California government unions and others who have tried to organize fast food workers, beating them into submission and then failing, have turned to the government, and now under Newsom signed this bill a couple of weeks ago under AB257. He signed it on Labor Day, David, so that's only like 10 days ago. Newsom announced this is so great, it's so urgent, it's so needed. There are two things I want to say about this. Number one, workers did not voluntarily sign up to join unions, so unions are going to make them do it. And here's how it'll work. They're going to set up a 13-person commission of political appointees who will negotiate pay and work schedules, et cetera, with franchise owners, food franchise owners of a very specific kind. Not all of them, just a few of them. And it will make these workers and these companies subject to a 13-person commission. This is not being done anywhere else in the United States. And guess who loves it? Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, the labor movement. If you won't join a union, we'll simply make you wards of the state, vassals. One of the interesting things that came out in the later days of this thing was a UCLA study by the, like, I think it's called the Labor Studies Project of at UCLA. Recent documents, I can put this in the show notes, show that UCLA worked with the unions to produce its study, a study that showed that workers in the fast food industry were being ripped off, they were being hurt, they were being exploited, they just needed government protection so badly, and that's what they really wanted, but they couldn't get it. That study has been cited everywhere, and the revelation is government unions organized the research for them. The very unions that have been trying unsuccessfully to organize the unions are behind the UCLA labor study, which is cited everywhere. I mean, you just go type in the words Assembly Bill 257 and UCLA study and look at the number of hits you get from major prestigious papers to wonky little progressive outlets, all of them suggesting that the study shows that workers are being ripped off and hurt, injured because of a lack of unionization. And this is the only thing the government could finally do. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris love this model called sectoral bargaining. And it simply makes workers, whether they want it or not, members of a government, basically a government union. This is the next step. We're watching it live here in California now. This is what happens after the unions begin to falter. The government will step in if it is run by unions, and the government will run labor. This is, I guess you would call it, the Marxist dream of a dictatorship of the proletariat. If by proletariat you mean government union leaders.
So ballots.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've talked a lot about Proposition 1. That is a constitutional amendment. Now, this was put on the ballot at the urging of Governor Gavin Newsom with the authority granted to our state lawmakers to put anything on the ballot that they want. And so what did they do this year? They said, hey, in the face of this Roe v. Wade decision at the Supreme Court, what we really need is a constitutional amendment that enshrines the right to an abortion in California. In California, we already offer out-of-state visitors. We're creating an abortion tourism industry. Hey, come for the sunshine, stay for the death. We're offering out-of-state people seeking an abortion where if they can't get it locally or they can't get it internationally. I mean, you could come from outside the United States and have access to this program. We will pay for your travel, your hotel, and give you a free abortion. Mm. Nothing could go wrong with that as far as I can tell, David. It is possible that many children who were conceived elsewhere and would have been born elsewhere will come to California, and the first thing they will see is somebody killing them. Don't mean to be graphic, but that's what's at stake here in Prop 1. Proposition 1 will make it impossible, virtually impossible, to regulate abortion except as a matter of just sort of like normal health stuff. You know, like the way you would fix a broken arm is now the way that you can regulate an abortion. That's it.
Well, I wonder if you have any polling on it.
I do not, but the last poll I showed, and all these polls are so twisted, the ones that I've seen, which show that Californians overwhelmingly supported Roe, and they really want
we know that.
But on this specific proposition, no, I've not seen anything.
The reason is that it's going to come down to the partial birth basis of this, that it allows abortion far into the third trimester.
That's right. Up to the moment of
birth. And yeah. So it's well past viability. And so the issue will end up being, our friend John Fleischman wrote a great op-ed in the Orange County Register, the issue will end up being, does this get voted on as if it's an abortion rights bill, which I think would cause it to pass in California, or does it get voted on as if it is what it is, which is an extremist infanticide bill, allowing abortion at a point where the vast majority of even Californians oppose it. And I think that comes down to the messaging campaigning, and I just don't know. You can vote, you could be a real moderate pro-choicer, you can believe in abortion rights, you can even like taxpayer-funded abortion. You can even like the idea of California offering to take the people in from those poor Bible Belt states that aren't allowing it. But this could still be opposed on the basis of those people that once upon a time were against the idea of taking a literal, fully formed, visible, organ-functioning baby and killing it.
Yeah. And this is what the polling has showed since I was a kid, that most Americans believe that there's a point at which an abortion ought to be free, easy, safe. What was it? And rare.
I don't know about free. Legal, safe, and rare.
Yeah. In California, we add free because free is fair. So there's that. And I think you're right. The messaging, though, will be backed by hundreds of millions of dollars, I'm going to bet, on the messaging side, yeah, that this is just about guaranteeing a woman's right to a safe
abortion. Yeah, that's right. And so that will be a really sad thing. But Will and I are on record as being opposed to Proposition 1.
Yes. So that's a no. Then we have two really interesting propositions, which are mind-numbingly confusing to most people already. The polling shows that people don't understand the distinctions between these two bills, which are both about tribal right and tribal rights to gambling. That is Native American tribes in California. So here's how it breaks down. Let's start with, these are 26 and 27, measures 26 and 27. Let's start with 27 because it's the really interesting one that's backed by DraftKings, the big online. And David, I don't gamble, so you could probably fill in some of the blanks here.
Well, I do gamble for fun every now and then, but I don't sports bet. Every now and then I'll do a thing like with March Madness when I'm in Vegas, I'll place bets. But not like throughout the week, not online, right. And I'm not opposed to it. I'm a busy guy, and I would get real into it if I was into it. Well, so but keep going. Explaining, because this is, we need to set the table here.
Yeah. So Prop 27 is backed by DraftKings and a few of the larger Native American casino tribes. We should just call them casino tribes. And what's always interesting here is to watch how they both talk about gambling when they talk about the other side and gaming when they talk about their side. So in both these things, they will talk about gaming or gambling. It's the same thing. DraftKings and these select tribes have, this is the capitulation, the compromise that DraftKings settled on with these tribes. You have to go onto a tribe under Proposition 27. You have to go onto a tribal land where there's already gambling to download the DraftKings or other, you know, similar app. And then you can leave the, you can go back home, you can go anywhere you want and use that app. But you have to go to the I mean, it's this weird thing like freeze tag. You have to go onto the sovereign territory.
I don't know how the freeze tag, but
there's a safe place.
But this is real.
This is real.
So you can use the app anywhere, but you got to download the app on the grounds.
That's right. It's only downloadable there. I don't know how they do that with geofencing, that sort of thing, but there it is. But here's the really wonderful feature. I use wonderful in quotes. Really creative. The compromise is creative. But here's the creative part. The messaging on behalf of 27 is, yes, we're going to have gaming, but it's going to be safe. And a lot of the revenue will be taxed for a variety, a menu, a cafeteria buffet of sort of left-wing programs, homelessness, drug addiction, you name it. If the left supports it, this tax revenue will be used from gambling to support this left-wing agenda. So notice when you watch the ads from now on, please, and they're already there. They're just in constant rotation. That what they're really saying to you is, this isn't really about gaming or gambling. This is really about helping the homeless. You like the homeless, don't you? Do you hate the homeless? Because if you hate the homeless, then boy, don't vote for this.
And what about if you like the Indians? Is that part of it?
Always. For both 26 and 27.
But 26 is literally from the Indian casinos.
That's correct. But they
27, DraftKings and FanDuel just sort of recruited some lesser known casinos to be supportive.
Lesser known, but still really big.
But not as big as the 26 casinos.
Fair enough. So the tribes that are not part of 27, back 26. And they want to do two things.
No app. No online.
There's no app. That's right. You can gamble on tribal lands only in California. That's what 26.
And now this would add sports betting.
It would add sports betting at these places, but it would also include another major constituency that you would not have expected, perhaps. But
LGBT. No, okay, I'm sorry.
Let's write that in. They brought in the horse tracks. So they've got the horse racing guys, and you can gamble there too. And significantly, it would kill off card rooms, these off-reservation and not horse track betting places. So card rooms along the 710 corridor in Southern California, if you're familiar with it, it runs from roughly the port of Los Angeles up in almost, you know, like Pasadena. Along that corridor in Southeast LA County, there are all these card rooms, and they're all over the state. But these are places that are like, you know, the Hustler Club or whatever. And you can go in and you can play cards and gamble and bet there.
Now, why do you say big tribes? Because everything I've read is that it is three very small tribes that are behind 27. Okay. By the way, I would consider that a feature, not a bug.
So yeah, I agree.
So I don't care. But I'm just wondering, it's not like the San Manuels and the Morongos.
No, I may be succumbing to the propaganda
of 26.
Because everything I've read, like, I don't literally like 25 or 30 articles on this, and they always talk about the big tribes. But I think you're right. It's not the size of the tribe so much. It is just that there are some tribes at war with others. This is like pre-Columbian California, as in Columbus's arrival here. Before the Europeans come, these guys are at war, crushing each other. And and then the Europeans come in and mow them down. And they play the sympathy card for both 26 and 27. You're like, we are good and honorable people, and we have been mistreated by the white man. Support our right to the only thing that has sustained us through these meager times, reservation gambling. So on 26, we just to recap, we've got tribes that are not in 27 who have
joined. Who are big ones. They already are swimming in money.
Yeah, they've got loads of cash, and they've linked up with the horse tracks, the betting tracks.
Oh, no, can I? Okay.
Please.
The recap, I'm going to do it quicker.
Yeah, thanks.
The Yes on 26 people are big, big Indian reservation tribes that want to allow sports betting on site at their spot.
Right.
And by the way, those Indian tribes want so desperately to help their impoverished people that they have spent $66 million to fight Prop 27.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and what they also do is tribes on both these propositions fight constantly to keep their membership numbers low. So people who might have a legitimate claim to say, hey, look, I am part Native American, and therefore, I belong to this tribe that has a reservation, has a casino, I want part of the windfall here. They spend a significant amount of their money lawyering up against new tribal members and trying to kick existing members out of their tribe so that their cut, their VIG, is bigger. Exactly.
So I love this too, and you just do with it what you will, but the San Manuel Indian Reservation spokesman, Rob Stutzman,
also known as Little
Feather. And I noticed that San Manuel's chief operating officer, Frank Sizemore.
These are well-known Indian family names.
I'm sorry, but this is one of the most corrupt things I've ever seen.
It truly is.
And we're stuck in a difficult position because I don't know your feeling, and I purposely want to go first because I don't want any well poisoned. Let's just have it out if we disagree. What the votes should or shouldn't be here is largely going to be disconnected from what the campaigns about the votes are about.
Yes.
I don't think a dollar of this money is going to go to homelessness. So I'm not going to vote yes or no because I like or don't like homelessness.
Right.
That's all nonsense.
That's right.
None of this money is going to do anything good.
That's right.
And then it has nothing to do with the Indian reservation cause.
Correct.
Because I think that whole thing's corrupt and has been abused and is a joke.
Yeah.
So the question, though, is do you believe in freedom of people to be able to gamble? And I am for people making an argument that, look, the state or a county or a certain municipality should have the right to say they don't want to allow it. And I never had a problem with California not allowing gambling and Vegas allowing it. It was close enough for Californians to go. You kind of then contain the sort of seediness that's going to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you have legalized gambling, you're going to have some booze and some drugs and some prostitution and other things. You're going to have awful things to go on, like Celine Dion performing every night. Like you can't control what kind of goes on.
Right.
Okay, but my point being, then there's a sense of like the sports betting side. I think it's pretty stupid. It's illegal. And I've already said I'm not a sports bettor.
Right, right.
But with the internet, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We're just playing a game.
Yep.
No pun intended.
So you're more libertarian on this, and I am too.
But I'm not hard libertarian.
No.
If there's I'm a subsidiarist. If there's an argument against a locality wanting it. The problem is that they've monopolized it to a corrupt Indian cartel.
That's right.
That I think is totally disingenuous.
That is dominated by non-American Indians.
So you have to make a decision, yes or no, here, on what overpowers the tension, voting no against the corruption of the Indian monopoly or voting yes on the basis of wanting a more kind of libertarian right for sports betting.
Okay, so I'm going to go out here on a limb now and just say that we're both no. I'm no on both these.
I think you're probably
okay.
Right.
All right.
But are you no on them for different reasons or the same reason?
I am no against both these because they are both corrupt. Both of these things are corrupt.
Yeah.
Both of them have nothing to do with local control. Both of these have nothing to do with the things they say they're about. And at bottom, what they're about is enriching a few political consultants who run these things.
Okay, so Prop 28, forget 26 and 27. If there were a Prop 28, is there a real Prop 28?
There is a real Prop 28.
Okay, Prop 128. If there was a fake proposition that then said, we're legalizing sports betting.
I'm for it.
And it's not connected to homelessness?
That's right.
It's not connected to any Indian tribe.
Right.
Our tribe allows you to come on. You have to download the app, but you have to be standing on one foot when you do it while you recite the 1619
project. Yeah.
It's just basically everybody can place a bet on the Lakers online.
Yep.
You'd be for that.
I would be.
So we're against this, despite our libertarian bend on the issue.
Yes.
Because of the corruption.
The corruption.
Fully on board with you.
Yeah, okay. There is a real Prop 28, and...
that's next.
Do I find that execrable? This is...
I wish everyone... You got to put the article for the SAC-B. It's on a paywall, so I don't know if you're able to get to it. The corruption of this 26 and 27 thing is staggering.
It is bad.
And the consultants come out in droves. And I have no problem with FanKings and, or what is it, DraftKings and FanDuel. They have their thing. So they're, in a sense, fighting for what you and I would consider a corrupt right. But they're doing it because they're being held back by a corrupt monopoly granted to another party.
Yes.
So then you get this, like, there's no good guys in any of this.
No good guys. No. Not even our Native American forebears.
I would like to be there at the filming of these commercials. How these frickin' people with a straight face go on and say, our tribes have been persecuted for years.
Yeah.
It is time that we solve homelessness, crime, and all injustice against Indians by allowing degenerate gamblers to download an app at our barrio. I mean, what in the world is this world coming to?
Back in the day when I was a reporter, well, I was an editor of The Weekly. We've talked about that before. A reporter and I went out to a...
we talked about that last week.
We did indeed. Good memory. God, you can remember stuff from like ancient history.
Yeah,
it is amazing. All the way to last week. So this reporter and I drove out to a an Inland Empire casino, I'll just say. And we were there to meet with a consultant who was going to show us around all the great things that the Native Americans were doing with their capital. The most remarkable thing for both the reporter and I was watching all the consultants show up to meet us and the Native American people who were, quote unquote, running the casino. And they showed up in things like Land Rovers, massive Mercedes sedans that looked up armored, Humvees. These were the people who then would go up here and tell us, you know, that they were really doing this because they were so downtrodden and so beaten up as a people. Anyway, Prop 28 is about arts funding.
You did not, I'm sorry. I'm not letting you off 26, 27 yet. You didn't mention, because I'm working my way through some notes here, that the animal rights lobby is very involved.
Yes, tell us.
Well, the horse track factor.
The horse, that's right.
So because Prop 26 would legalize sports betting at horse tracks,
right.
I assume they view that as a kind of support to the horse racing business.
That's right.
So the California Animal Welfare Association is against it.
That's right, because horses die in horse racing or get hurt.
So you could argue that they love horses but hate Indians.
I like your thinking. That's the next ad. You and I ought to go into let's start a business and you'll come up with all the messaging. Can I now go to Prop 28?
Yeah, please.
All right. So this is arts funding. And here's the bottom line for this thing. It would require money to come out of the general fund to support arts in schools. Now, everybody loves kids and finger painting and all that sort of thing. Nobody would deny that arts are really critical to our schools. But California public schools already have a monopoly on public education, and they control most of California's general fund budget already. They have a constitutional requirement, Prop 98, which allows them to control 40% off the top, immediately, no questions asked, of all the California revenue coming into the state. All of it. They are out of control already. So what does this do? It just provides them with one more source of money they can tap. So our teachers are always underpaid. Then I've asked you multiple times, please go to Transparent California and look at how the teachers are underpaid and understand the collective bargaining and how the teachers union has set this thing up so that it punishes good teachers and rewards lousy ones. Does not reward merit, just rewards your time in a union. That's how they set this thing up. Teachers are not underpaid, but that will come out. They will talk about how people who don't want Prop 28 arts funding hate kids, hate teachers, hate schools, don't appreciate the arts and their value. This is just a money grab.
Why can't say you love students and love teachers and the only one they're right about is that you hate the arts? Can someone do that?
You love the arts.
I do. But what I would love someone go, you hate art, you hate students, you hate teachers. And I go, I do not
hate students or teachers.
I just think that'd be funny.
Not a fan of the arts.
By the way, the art that they are talking about, I do hate.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, this is some...
All right.
Yeah, well, we don't need to say anymore.
Okay, well, this is an easy no.
Yeah.
man, they are not making this hard on us this
year. No, they're not. You know what's really good about this, though, David? I'll tell you this. It'll be so fascinating. Every year you and I have done this, we have looked back at the results after Election Day and been able to say, wow, California voters, when there's not a kind of Republican versus Democrat, red versus blue thing, are really quite conservative. They're on the right side of most ballot measures because it's not an up or down on the Republicans or the Democrats. It's very straightforward. This is policy that is either good or bad, and Californians typically vote the right way. This is going to be a tough one, especially on those horse racing and Native Americans thing. But
I love this. I can't get off this 26-27 thing because you and I have such a huge theme on our deal about corruption in politics and distortion of markets that comes to people with special interest in using power. And of course, power has to be defended with money. They spent $40 million on Prop 1A about 20 years ago to pass legalized gambling on Indian reservations in California. They estimate it has now generated $9 billion of revenue.
Wow.
That is $40 million well spent.
That's really good ROI.
The CalPERS should have invested in that. Right? That's a heck of a return. They point out that San Manuel, which many know is one of the largest, I think it's out in Highland. There's a massive, I saw Dennis Miller perform there years ago. It was a massive Indian reservation casino in Highland. That they have, the San Manuel owns a Residence Inn hotel next door to the Capitol building in Sacramento.
Wow.
That they have built for the purpose of getting their people up there on the regular thoroughfare of lobbying and special interest and all that.
So they really literally make it coming and going. You come into the hotel and you pay them to stay there to do their bit, but you're doing their business and
the tribes have spent over the years $370 million in lobbying for their interest. And right now the polls are overwhelming. I love this line. Prop 27 is going to fail. Okay. And because just the branding effort and the money that's gone into calling it a corporate special interest gambling. But then Prop 26, listen to this line as to why the consultants are predicting it will succeed. 26, the one directly from it. This is a major casino consultant in Reno, Nevada. The tribes are not novices at politics in California. The tribes are pretty good at this. They know California. They know what to do.
Yeah.
They're going to get this through.
Yeah. It's just so fascinating. And you know what's, again, I was talking about how, you know, will California's inherent sensibility shine through this particular ballot this list of ballot measures? What's fascinating to see how many newspapers have come out on the right side of these issues and said, you know, this is bad. So when we're talking about arts funding and public schools, Proposition 28, it's the Mercury News that is coming out and saying, vote no on 28.
Well, and also the Mercury News, and there's the East Bay, is that another sister paper?
Sister paper,
But it was two editorial pages of two liberal Bay Area papers.
That's right,
And arguing a little bit different reasoning than you and I would use, but nevertheless arguing the fiscal insanity of it.
Yeah, here's...
They're more saying, like, I would say defund the schools. You're bad stewards of money.
Yes.
They're saying don't give new money to the schools yet because they're not spending properly the money they already have.
That's right.
It's a little different of an argument, but it's quite close, interesting. Yeah.
Here's a quote from the editorial that says vote no on 28. And again, this is Mercury News. There would be no new revenue sources to cover the annual cost of about $1 billion for this arts funding. Instead, the money would come out of the state's general fund. In other words, schools, which already receive the single largest chunk of the state budget and which are enjoying revenue that dwarfs what they were receiving just a few years ago, would receive even more money. That would leave less for other state programs and to save and pay down debt before the next inevitable economic downturn. This is one of the smartest things I've read in a very lefty newspaper. I detect the hand of Dan Bornstein. Prop 29. This is kidney dialysis firms. This is Service Employees International Union, SEIU, coming at us again every 2 years as they have before. They have lost, where's my little chart here of their losses? They were defeated in 2020, 63% voted no. And they lost by a similar amount in 2018. You could go back farther than that. I just went 2018-2020 to look at the results. SEIU is coming back again and again to these kidney dialysis operators and declaring that somehow there is an urgent need to have more SEIU employees in these dialysis centers, which are now almost like gas stations. They are in strip malls all over California. You know, it doesn't matter where I go, there are dialysis operators. And these are life-saving centers. They are relatively high technology, low labor requirement. And SEIU cannot have that. You cannot have automation and have SEIU succeed. They need more people in these places. This is a make-work job for Service Employees International, which is flagging as a union. They are just, and I want to just put in a plug here for Cal Policy Center. We have targeted SEIU for opt-outs of their members. And significantly, they are now nearing 30% loss in union membership among government employees.
70 to go.
Yeah, agreed. So here's SEIU coming at it again and saying, oh my gosh, we need make work jobs in these dialysis centers. And here's, again, Mercury News, vote no on Prop 29's attack on kidney dialysis firms.
I don't understand, Will. There's 80,000 Californians who receive dialysis treatment three times a week. There's 650 licensed and regulated clinics. And the physicians say that patients missing a treatment could cause them to die.
That's right.
Why in the world would somebody feel the need that there has to be, what is it, that it specifically? One doctor, one nurse, or two doctors? What is it? It would require on-site... What exactly here? Hold on. A doctor, a nurse practitioner, and physician assistant with a minimum 6 months experience on site 24 hours a day. Why in the world would a patient, if they felt it was unsafe, go to a place? I don't get what in the world SEIU thinks they're doing here that would... require them to care for the patient more than the patient is concerned with their own health.
Well, again, it's a make work jobs. It's like the film industry. It's like anything else the union does. What they want is more members and more dues and more grift.
But from they're trying to create jobs for doctors.
Yeah, but these would still be SEIU members. As a doctor, congratulations! You went to medical school, you trained your butt off, and now you work for the Service Employees International.
This is not going to pass, is it? It fails every time.
It fails every time. So the question is, are Californians paying attention to this? Are they keeping their eye on the ball? Even if you're a liberal, you don't like this because what it does is it raises the costs for everybody while enhancing union power where none is needed at all by
now,
us.
Does California Medical Association's against it. Has the AMA chimed in?
Don't know about the AMA, which the CMA is part of. But CMA is...
Oh, CMA is part of AMA. So yeah. That's their quasi-opposition. Where's Fauci on this? I'm just wondering where all the big guns are, man.
Yeah, no kidding. So that's a no for us, David.
You know what I would say to my left-wing friends that are tempted to want to require doctors and nurses additionally on site?
What's that?
Is that the non-doctors, non-nurses that keep costs low, that allow the dialysis centers to work and save lives, what if the people are wearing masks?
Mm.
Then is it okay? Or we could put a poison pill in and say the doctors
have to
be there, but they can't wear masks.
No masking.
And then people would be like, well, I'm not voting for that.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. Prop 29's a no. 26, 27, 28, 29 are no's.
And no on 30. Here's 30.
Ooh, 30.
30 is a wealth tax backed by Lyft, the car company that was targeted by AB5. And this is a fascinating one because it has divided a lefty sort of pro-environmentalists. You know, environmentalists love this thing, and I'll tell you why in a sec. Newsom and the CTA, the California Teachers Association, they hate it, and I'll tell you why. But here's what it would do. This would tax people. It would raise taxes. It would tack on to California's already high. What is it now? 13.3. Thank you.
Thank you for asking.
I'm glad to have you here. 13.3% high income tax, marginal tax rate. Highest in the nation already.
Should start paying your fair share.
Yeah, they got to pay their fair share. So if you make $2 million or more in California, this would add 1.75 to that 13.3, making this somewhere in the neighborhood of, what is that, David? Do the math for me. 14.6, 14.7, something. Mm. Almost 15%.
Yeah.
And it would take that additional tax revenue from these uber wealthy people mm-hmm. who are bad, and it would use that money for things like electric vehicles. Now, why does Lyft want an electric vehicle cash? What's it looking for here? It wants a subsidy for the cars it's going to encourage and hopefully subsidize for its drivers who will be required to drive electric cars by 2035.
Do you remember the last time that you and I had a substantive disagreement on a proposition?
Remind me.
I believe it was the Prop 22 that was to deal with the aftermath of the insanity of AB 5. And your thought, which I came around to in the end, was that even though we didn't think they did it inclusively enough for all businesses, that some marginal deregulation of the insanity of AB 5 was a good thing.
That's right.
And my argument at the time was that I have a huge problem with corrupt actors that are doing the right thing only for their business,
right,
and not including others. Who was behind Prop 22?
Lyft, Uber.
So Lyft now is rewarding those. And what was the argument people made about, you got to be 422, you got to be for business.
That's right.
What did they do? They've come back now with a wealth tax.
That's right. They've come back with a wealth tax.
You get burned every single time you touch these people.
That's right.
They're corrupt, untrustworthy, and they care about business and free markets and a free economy about as much as unions care about helping students.
That's right. So why does Newsom oppose it? And why is Newsom backed in his opposition by the California Teachers Association? For one reason only: taxing the rich is the union's game.
Yeah.
And Newsom is closest to the California Teachers Association. That's his power base right there, the teachers. If the teachers want a thing, he's generally going to be for it. And the teachers are basically saying, like the mob guys in a turf battle, Lyft, you have stepped onto our turf to rip off the rich. That's our game. We do that. We own the rich. Here's what's likely to happen if this thing passes. That money is going to be squandered. It will be used to subsidize electric vehicles for Lyft. And most rich people will hire a better CPA, or they will simply pass along the cost of doing business in California to the consumers. That raises the cost for everybody. Rich, you've said this before. Business owners don't pay taxes. They may be hit with a tax, but they're going to pass along the cost to everybody else who's a consumer of their business. So look for prices to rise. And the most obvious outcome of this will be a swell in the exodus of very wealthy people from California. If you're making more than $2 million a year, why would you stick around and take another shot in the shorts from these guys? You're going to leave. So we will lose revenue that those people would have paid. We're already seeing that as a result of our high tax rates. Californians are leaving, and what they're taking with them is the tax revenue. We didn't get anything from them.
But don't people see what's going on when we've created this relationship with companies and the government, and a company like Lyft could be so creative to figure out a way we could get the taxpayers to subsidize a fleet of electric cars and introduce more drivers that will have electric car purchase, is to go back a proposition that will then have tax increases and will throw out climate change and infrastructure and other BS. And in the end, what we'll get out of it is a backdoor subsidy, a direct subsidy,
mm-hmm,
to increase drivers coming in their fleet. Don't people see that this is created by an embrace of the cronyism you and I rail against every week? I'm like impressed with Lyft's ingenuity. Now, this is going to fail. This is going to fail. You're not going to take on the right. You can beat the right in California. That's pretty easy to do. You and I are usually the ones getting beaten.
Mm-hmm.
You can't beat the right when we're on the same side of Newsom and the teachers unions.
Right.
So this thing's going to fail. But the fact that Lyft would even have the audacity to put this corrupt bullshit in front of us is unbelievable.
Well, one of our listeners who's I should introduce him to you in your capacity as a board member of CPC. He's a very wealthy Silicon Valley guy, and he says, you know what's happening here? Lyft is punching Newsom in the chops over AB5. That's what's going on here. They are willing to spend this kind of money to let Newsom know that he's on a very short leash. And whether, you know, this thing passes or it doesn't, Lyft can squander this kind of cash.
Because they
easily
had to spend about $200 million, I think, to get not just Lyft, but the
Uber
pro on 22 people that did pass. They had to spend a couple hundred million.
That's
for
right. That cost them some
people
money.
Around the states around the country right now, I want you to know we are not, there's no typo.
Yeah.
Because you guys are used to your local city council race where someone spent $8,000.
It's like news.
Yeah, this
headline.
Was $200 million for one ballot in one state in one, I think, midterm. No, 22 would have been in 2020.
Yeah.
It's just staggering.
Yeah.
But this is a philosophical thing. Like, we're unpacking this for the merits of these specific ballots. But philosophically, this Lyft thing is corrupt to the core.
That's right. And we'll know how, you know, you asked the question, are Californians really able to see this stuff for what it is? We'll know know on November the 9th, the day after the election. Here's the last one, Prop 31.
When the North Koreans are done counting the votes from the fixed Dominion voting machines.
That's right. Yeah, I could go on about North Korea, Russia, and the Ukraine war right now, but that's off topic. Hey, Prop 31 would eliminate flavored tobacco. The argument here is that, you know who likes flavored tobacco? Black people. That's the argument they're making, and that, therefore, flavored tobacco is racist. It's an attempt to hook black people on, like, menthol, for instance, or young people on their vape pens. I have a different idea. How about we let people make choices, including black people, that they are allowed to smoke if they want. I don't recommend it. I don't do it. And they're allowed to be attracted to things like flavored tobacco. That's what the market research shows. That does not make black people stupid or necessarily the clients of the far left.
I thought the argument was that young people like the flavored tobacco, so it was a magnet for underage smokers.
That is a big part of their message. But they are also saying that flavored tobacco is especially tasty. To black people who have developed, I mean, it is such a weirdly racist argument.
Well, it's also incredibly infantilizing and patronizing.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we don't have a single yes?
No, we do not have a single yes. We are no on the flavored tobacco ban. Neither you nor I smoke. And if we did, we would not be smoking, I don't know, parliaments or something. But there it is. Your ballot measures made easy. Vote no on every single one of these
things. I don't think this is the first time that I've been a no on all propositions, yeah. But I do think this is the easiest batch of no's I've ever had.
Yeah. And it's nice to be lined up almost invariably with major editorial boards we often find fault with. They, too, see the wisdom here. So
that's actually making me second guess. Doesn't
it? I did too. I started reading this and I started thinking, well, I'm on the same side as the teachers.
Yeah, and we're on side with some CTA. I mean, Gavin has been our homeboy for a while now.
Yeah,
Gavin's on board.
Yeah.
I half expected him to have a couple ballots out there about bringing back the Declaration of Independence. that guy's our dog.
He wants to be. I wrote a piece in the Orange County Register, which I should have put in the show notes, but we talked about it on this show. And what I wrote for, you know, the SoCal News Group papers and for our own website and newsletter followers at California Policy Center was that Gavin Newsom has suddenly discovered his kind of more moderate inclinations. I was told, I think I mentioned on the show by a friend of his who's a Democratic consultant, you're seeing the real Gavin here. This is really Gavin. Well, what's really going on is he thinks he can win in 2024 and get into the White House. That's what he sees. And so to do that, he's got to moderate on specific issues. We could talk at greater length about that on a future show, but David, I think that's all the time we have today.
All right. It's a good one.
All right. Let's wrap it up. You can always find this podcast on the National Review website, but it's easier for you and better for us if you just subscribe. And of course, rate and review the show wherever you subscribe. That boosts our profile and helps others find us. On behalf of my friend and co-host Dave Bunson, we give thanks as ever to show producer Brian Tong, Glenn Hall, researchers Houston Reese, Sheridan Swanson, and Alex Kachatrian, and to all of our friends at National Review, especially National Review podcast producer Sarah Schutte. Thanks also to Metalachi. Got to say that. The LA-based Mariachi metal band for our music. La Revolución continúa en la semana próxima. And don't forget, La Semana, este podcast is going to come out on Friday. Love you guys.